As you heard in the spoken meditation, there are many potential wonderful responses to the question, what is Unitarian Universalism? And I encourage you to continue reflecting on what your UU elevator speech might be. I personally continue to experiment with various formulations. One short summary I've been using recently is that Unitarian Universalism is a place where you can be spiritual and religious. You got 20 minutes on that if you were here last Sunday. We draw wisdom from all the world's religions, as well as from modern science. We affirm both the inherent worth and dignity of each individual, and at our best, we freely choose to work together to build a better world for all people. We don't pretend to have all the answers, but together we're on a journey of living the questions. Now, part of the problem, of course, is that far too many people are not familiar enough with Unitarian Universalism to even consider that it could be significant and meaningful to them to ask you a question about it. As some of you have heard me say, one of my goals for this congregation is to make sure that we are not the best-kept secret in Frederick. Along these lines, there was an ad campaign a few years ago with the theme of, you might be a Unitarian Universalist and not know it. From one angle, there are all the old jokes such as, you might be a UU if you have trouble singing the hymns because you're always reading ahead to see if you agree with the words. Or you might be a UU if you prefer to think of the Ten Commandments as the Ten Suggestions. More seriously, you might be a UU and not know it if you long to be part of a spiritual community in which you have the freedom to explore atheism, agnosticism, art, Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, paganism, science, and many other related paths in turn, at the same time, and either way, all within the same congregation and spiritual community. You might be a UU and not know it if you trust your own firsthand experience, what you know for yourself to be true, as much or more than what authorities, spiritual, religious, secular, tell you is true. You might be a UU if you believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. If you believe in working for social, environmental, and economic justice, and that we don't have to believe alike to love alike. Yesterday, my wife Megan and I were walking around downtown Frederick, and we passed a car that was covered in bumper stickers. Bumper stickers about open-mindedness and diversity. I'll have to go check and see if it's out in the parking lot. Along with pleas for reason and tolerance. And whenever I see cars like that, I sometimes think that I should start carrying around with me little cards to stick under those cars' windshield wipers that say, your bumper stickers lead me to think that you might be interested in the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Frederick. I invite you to visit our website. Now, admittedly, Unitarian Universalism is not for everyone. Nothing is. But we regularly hear new members of this congregation say something along the lines of, I wish I had known years ago that this congregation was here. Likewise, when reading through the seven principles and the six sources, they're on the back of your order of service, many people, including myself, have had the experience of thinking, yeah, that's pretty much what I think. But as inspiring as the principles and sources can be for many people, as exciting as it can be to say, I've finally found a place that wants to shape itself around these principles and all these different sources, if you've been around UUism for a while, you've probably heard this criticism of the principles and sources from a former UUA president. Quote, they describe a process for approaching the religious depths, but they testify to no intimate acquaintance with the depths themselves. In other words, the principles and sources are great for convincing many of us to risk walking through the door of a UU congregation, that it might be a safe place, not a toxic place. And they point us toward how we can be together amidst all our theological and philosophical diversity. But there's still much work to be done individually and collectively in doing that hard work of the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, of actually authentically living the questions, as well as working together for social, environmental, and economic justice. I should also say that those principles and sources, as wonderful as they are in many ways, they're not carved in stone. They were written in the early 1980s and approved by delegates at UU General Assemblies. And although they continue to serve us well in many ways, I have every reason to think that someday they will rightly be revised and eventually replaced by words that better meet the needs of a future generation. If you look at the cover of our gray hymnal, you'll see that the title is Singing the Living Tradition. Ours is a movement symbolized by a flickering flame that seeks to be ever-changing, ever-evolving as insights and revelations and cultural shifts happen, while also retaining the best wisdom of the past. But if we have a bias, as you use, it is not to the past, but to the future. As a lyric contained in that gray hymnal, and a tribute to the living tradition, proclaims, Unitarian Universalism is a freedom that reveres the past but trusts the dawning future more. A freedom that reveres the past but trusts the dawning future more. So far, we've been focusing mostly on that perhaps most common question of just what is Unitarian Universalism? And if you get that question, maybe you're lucky, and maybe you're prepared after the Sunday to knock that one out of the ballpark. Because it allows you the freedom to respond in many different possible ways about the parts of Unitarian Universalism that are most significant to you. But what about harder questions like, doesn't Unitarian Universalism mean getting to believe anything you want? Who's heard that one? All right, yeah, it's also common. The right answer, which is shocking to many people, is no. To take a step back, the biggest problem with responding to that question is the whole way that the question is framed. There's a whole lot in life that gets a lot more clear if you start asking the right questions, and there's a whole lot of confusion that can come from asking unhelpful ones. People that ask, what do you use believe, even those that actually ask that question earnestly and in good faith, are making what philosophers call a category error. Often people whose starting point is asking, what do Unitarian Universalists believe, have had a lot of exposure to orthodox religious traditions, such as Roman Catholicism, in which believing a set of doctrines is central. If you attend any Roman Catholic Mass, it will include a recitation of the 4th century Nicene Creed. That's the one that begins, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. It continues. Or to become a Muslim, you must recite the Shahada, a creed which is the first of the 5 pillars of Islam. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. That word creed itself comes from the Latin word credo for I believe. In contrast, as you heard in some of those elevator speeches, Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal faith tradition. Religion scholars would classify us not as an orthodoxy that centers around what you do or don't believe, but as an orthopraxy, from that word for right practice. What matters in Unitarian Universalism ultimately is what you do, how you treat your fellow human beings, how you treat this one earth. We believe in deeds, not creeds, and that you don't have to believe alike to love alike. And we believe that behavior is believable, often much more so than words. And even with all that I've just said about UUism being a non-creedal tradition, it's still not the case that being Unitarian Universalism thus means being able to believe whatever you want. The old joke is, you know, what do you get if you cross an evangelist with a Unitarian Universalist? You get someone who goes around knocking on doors for no particular reason. But for a more constructive response to that old canard, I like to follow the lead of Rebecca Ann Parker, who since 1990 has been president of Star King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, California, one of the three main seminaries for UUism, the other being Meadville Lombard in Chicago and Harvard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She makes four vital points about some theological options that are outside the pale, even in the broadly inclusive Unitarian Universalism. And so as I go through these quickly, I invite you to pay attention. Is there any uncomfortability in you? You know, we're so used to trying to be more inclusive that how does it feel within you as you listen to these four invitations from Rebecca Parker to consider what might be outside the pale, even for UUism? See if you agree with her or not. She says, we have room for many different understandings of God, as well as for many people who don't believe in God. But you can't be a Unitarian Universalist and hold the view that there is a God who exists and who is the all-powerful determiner of everything that happens. There are people that believe that. They're called Calvinists. And our Unitarian Universalist forebears defined themselves against that and said, we don't believe in predestination. We don't believe in that kind of God. Such a worldview would violate our cherished UU value of freedom and responsibility. Second, you can believe many different perspectives about the afterlife, that there is no afterlife. You can believe any of that, a whole spectrum of things, and find a comfortable place for yourself within UUism. But you cannot believe that there will be an eternal separation of the saved from the damned, in which the good are rewarded with eternal bliss and the damned are punished with eternal suffering. Such a view would violate our first principle of the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Even more problematically, it would violate the entire Universalist half of our heritage. Which holds that whatever we mean by salvation, next world, this world, whatever we mean by that, that salvation is universal, it is for everyone, and it is not limited to some elite group. There was a workshop along those lines at the recent Unitarian Universalist General Assembly that was talking about how we reclaim this universalist rejection of hell, how we reclaim that in the 21st century of a universal hope in this world for all people. And they titled that workshop, Loving the Hell Out of the World. That's pretty clever. Third, many individual UUs are drawn to one or more of our six sources. They really like, you know, the first one or the fourth one or the fifth and the second one. And they're drawn to one or more of those for reasons that are understandable and related to personal proclivities and background. And all of that is fine. It can all happen, whatever mix of those six sources within the Big Ten of UUism. But you can't be a Unitarian Universalist and believe that one religion encompasses the exclusive final truth for all times and places. We're a living tradition, not one that thinks that it was all figured out at some point in the past. Now, and historically, there were hard-fought battles in our tradition, particularly with some individuals and groups who wanted to keep the Christian tradition central and privileged and elevated. But the decisive shift was eventually toward a robust religious pluralism that explicitly includes, you can see it in the fourth source, explicitly includes the Jewish and Christian tradition, but only as one among many equally legitimate paths and sources for truth and meaning. Fourth and finally, you can believe many different views about this world and even about the next world, but you cannot hold the view that salvation is to be found solely beyond this world. There's a long-standing tradition in Unitarian Universalism in valuing this world and this life, and that here and now really matters. And notice that none of those four points are a creed. In each case, the starting point is the wide, expansive number of positions that one can comfortably hold within Unitarian Universalism. But there are positions and ways of relating that are incompatible with the core values of our liberal religious tradition, which historically has emphasized freedom, reason, and tolerance. To share a personal memory, the first time I ever remember learning about Unitarian Universalism was as a sophomore in college. I was in the college chapel's library, and there was a whole shelf reserved for each of the different campus groups. The Unitarian Universalist group's shelf had about 20 copies. It was this line of small black books titled A Chosen Faith, which is an introduction to Unitarian Universalism by two long-term UU ministers that are now retired. One has now deceased, but from All Souls Unitarian in New York City. I would recommend that book to you. As a cradle Southern Baptist, I could relate to the concept of a chosen faith, because there was so much emphasis in my childhood church on the importance of an individual choosing Jesus. Now, there's actually a shocking number of parallels between how Baptists organize their congregations and how UUs do, and a surprising number of Baptist ministers who have converted historically to Unitarian Universalism, but I'll save that for another time. The point for now is that individual choice is central to UUism. To quote from that book, A Chosen Faith, Unitarian Universalists are neither a chosen people nor a people whose choices are made for them by theological authorities, ancient or otherwise. We are a people who choose. And of course, that word choice is related to the ancient Latin word for Greek word for choice, heresis, which of course is where we get the word heretic. Heretic just means to choose for yourself instead of letting the Orthodox authorities choose for you. And as we choose for ourselves, this unwieldy name, which I've stumbled over a few times this morning, of Unitarian Universalism, we chose that because in 1960, the Unitarians and the Universalists came together separately in Boston, where all things important in Unitarian, UU Mecca, they came together in Boston and voted democratically for consolidation. The delegates present on that historic occasion said that the emotional climax came as the two groups joined together after the vote for worship. As they collectively streamed into the sanctuary as a new uniting body, they sang the hymn, As Tranquil Streams. They sang this hymn over and over until everyone that had voted had processed into the sanctuary, till everyone was joined together in the same room. In a few moments, we'll sing that hymn together. But as with so many moments in history, the vote could have been otherwise. In this case, years of work and hope resulted in inclusivity and unity. Our sixth principle holds up that lofty goal of world community, with peace, liberty, and justice for all. But history shows us, if you go back and read that early history in the 50s of before the consolidation, history shows us how difficult it was, even for two liberal denominations with much in common, to merge. But we have to start somewhere. And today, 53 years after that historic vote to create and merge two centuries-old traditions of Unitarianism and Universalism into Unitarian Universalism, I hope you'll continue to reflect on your answer in 2013 and 2014 and beyond of what is Unitarian Universalism and what is it becoming, what can it be? I hope that some of you have been inspired to develop or refine your UU elevator speech. And if you come up with a good short summary, please share it with me, share it with one another. We can use all the help and tools we can get, again, in making sure that we don't keep this wonderful place a secret. As we prepare to sing together hymn number 145, I encourage you to pay attention to the lyrics. What parts of these words still hold meaning and inspiration for us today? You'll recognize as we sing that this historic hymn from our living tradition that it includes the lyric that I quoted earlier, that Unitarian Universalism is a freedom that reveres the past but trusts the dawning future more. May it ever be so. Stand together.